Can I go with Tale of Two Cities to start this podcast off? Does that seem bizarre enough for you? And just call this the best of times and the worst of times? I don't know if it's the best of times, but does that work for you?
That works for me, I guess. I
It
don't know.
does. It feels a bit dramatic, but I mean, I
I
guess
mean,
it in the grand scheme of things, it depends how you're taking the season, right?
yeah.
You think so? All that really to say, welcome in. It's the Seminole softball wrap. Ryan Pellerin here with, of course, the brains of the operation, Gwen Rhodes. Gwen, thanks for pulling us together this Easter Sunday, since I am always frequently too occupied to just say, hey, podcast.
I'm also too unoccupied. I didn't really have anything to do other than chores, so.
Well, we're both sitting around today like podcasts. So, I mean, it works out, you know. That's what happens. We move away from families, live on opposite coasts, and go, hey, you're not doing anything. It's a holiday for everyone else, but not here. So obviously we're gonna talk about the last couple of weeks of FSU softball, which is like a 10 games, I think. So we're basically 3 weeks. And then we will pick it back up. And of course, we've had some conversations in comment sections with some of you and, going back and forth. And I don't think we've really had much to change either way. Plus, at the end, we're going to go through Gwen's haul, or really, I guess, your dad's haul that ended up with you from the first pitch banquet. Any teaser that you could drop there for the folks?
Some Oklahoma City stuff from last season is in my possession.
Okay, all right. I like that. That's good enough for me. I don't want to go further because now I'm really interested, but so now I'm trying to stop myself from asking a follow-up. But anyway, I started the way I did, which was super bizarre and weird and uncomfortable as I did it, because I think there are really fair reasons to be both up on this team and to remain down on this team. And I think it really just depends on where you are as a person and kind of where you the how you look at things, right?
Right.
Sorry, I cleared my throat. But since the last time we did the show, they lost the midweek game. We did it the day of the Alabama game. Lost that game. Close game. Played a really close competitive series at home with Duke, who's, one of the best teams in the country. Got absolutely hammered by Texas. And then swept the next 2 weekend series against Pitt and NC State with 4-run rules in the process and looked great. There's a lot in there that I obviously think you can be pretty happy with, especially
Yeah.
considering the way the last 6 games have gone. And there's certainly a lot of space that you could poke holes in their recent form, even if you're thrilled with it. Gwen, I ask you, where do you fall on the optimism slash pessimism around this? Do I call them surging FSU softball team?
Yeah, I mean, I think we got through the worst of it, right? So like we all knew the week of the Alabama series and like the week of Texas and everything like that was going to be extremely challenging. Of course you want to like play more challenge. Like, you want to continue the challenge. I mean, obviously kind of every game is a challenge, but like going forward in the schedule, we're not really going to see the same caliber of teams that we got in the last few weeks. So that's kind of like the downside of it, but I mean, also they just kind of get to play softball at that point, so like they don't have to really sweat themselves too much over going to play four ranked teams in a week. But I think that's kind of the point was to do it all at the beginning. So if you do stumble and fall in that week, you have a really long time to make up for it and set yourselves up for postseason in a good way.
Yeah, you had the chance in this weekend to be in that week, that really tough week, to be one swing away from coming out of it 2-3. And you were one swing away from it from maybe being out of it 0-5, right? It was not the best week, but I think you and I, even after the podcast with Sydney, talked about I'm not sure how these next 5 games are gonna go. We knew there were struggles, we knew there were things they needed to kind of figure out. And they were going into really a tough stretch, and it's could they find a way to make the most of it? You're one swing in that Sunday game against Duke away from taking the series against them, and yeah, Alabama and which Alabama was pretty competitive.
Yeah.
Texas obviously not, but I don't think there's much question that they are one of the handful of teams we expect to see in Oklahoma City this year. You're just you weren't at that level, and that's okay. I think. I guess where I end up for that stretch is that's where I keep going back to. I wish you had the Oregon tournament,
Right,
right? Because
exactly.
you wish that was that weekend so you could learn those lessons then, and maybe that's what they're learning from now, right? The positive growth from it.
Yeah, and I know like Pitt is what Pitt is. Like, they're very bottom of the barrel in ACC. And I think I last time I checked the rankings, North Carolina State is now at also down there at the bottom. But North Carolina State, I'm not even going to loop Pitt into this conversation, but I think North Carolina State is improved from where they have been in the past. Like, I was excited for North Carolina State at the beginning of the season just because I think they have a completely different team approach and how they play softball. And they made it competitive. Like, it wasn't like, yes, there were run rules, but the first game was a walk-off, you know, in the seventh inning. And then, like, they just kind of pushed us a little bit more when they needed to in the next couple games. But I mean, I think NC State was a good challenge for the rest of the ACC. Like, yeah, we're gonna go play Boston College, but Boston College has improved. They just beat Clemson in a game in one of their games, but Clemson very easily could have swept that series. But yeah, I think the NC State game was good because yes, you're gonna go and steamroll over Pitt, but you want to show the same type of consistency against an improved NC State team.
Yeah, and look, I don't think anyone can sit here with a straight face. And like I said, you can be on either end of it. You can say this is a team that's learned from it, took their licks, and here they go. This is they're figuring it out. They got the perfectly timed get right series against Pitt to really just figure everything out and collectively come together, go on the road for a weekend and find their stride. Obviously, you run rule all three games, that helps. And I can see where you could try to poke holes in the NC State. They pushed you. They're 1-11 in conference play, which doesn't exactly make you feel great about it, but it is a team that beat Clemson at Clemson. They went pushed them in the third game there. They won the first game of that series. They lost a couple games in 11 innings to Georgia Tech, according to this schedule, which seems bizarre to lose 8-1-11, but I'm looking at it, so that's that. You beat the team that beat Northwestern, beat Michigan State, beat South Carolina at South Carolina. The schedule is 1-11. That there's not really much arguing with the record. It is that. It's not a ter it's not like you said, it's not what Pitt was. And it's a good sweep for this team. And whether or not they have fully emerged from this early season trying to figure themselves out, I do think some of the panic was obviously overblown. I know you and I, right after the podcast, were going back and forth. We had some comments and this team isn't any good. We should just move on to baseball and worry about them. And I just, when you put the expectations so high from what this program has been putting out the last handful of years, when you slide back some, it feels like you're cratering.
Right.
But that's not what this team is. They're still second in the ACC.
Yeah, and they have a very good chance of staying that way. Like, I mean, you know, Duke and Clemson, they, or at least Clemson has shown that they can lose to anybody in the ACC, and that's not helping them because they're supposed to be better than that. And then Duke steamrolls everyone. They just steamrolled Virginia Tech this last weekend, and the same at Louisville a few weekends ago. They're going to be number one, I feel like. So it's just, you know, when you're going into the ACC tournament, how do we learn from the Duke series that we had and what we've done since then? And how do we go and beat Duke again? So.
Well, and I think if you look at the perspective on this team around the country, right? And if you really boil it down, and we try to do that with Sydney and kind of help her perspective come to the table. And it was largely, it's a long season, take a deep breath, but this team is still ranked in the around 20 area, right? 18, I think, in the coaches poll or whatever the most recent one of that was. I'm sure we'll get a new one tomorrow, which will make this whole part of this conversation pointless. But like the perspective on this team is like, yeah, they've got holes, but they're still one of the better teams in the country. Most teams they're going to match up against, they're going to be good to great or and at least competitive. There's not many times they're going to line up on a field and be extremely outclassed. It just so happens that may be Texas as the team to do that. It may be you're not the team to beat Oklahoma. You're not the team to maybe beat Georgia or Tennessee today. Who knows what you look like in a few weeks, but that's probably not the thing to worry about right now. Like you mentioned, the schedule ahead of you is soft enough where you should feel like you can continue this growth.
Right. And like if you think back to a few years ago, I think it was 2021, where the hitting was like abysmal and the pitching is what carried us to Oklahoma City. And like the hitting just did what it needed to do to win the game. And then pitching was the dominant force. And now it's just the opposite. Like hitting is the dominant force and pitching, you know, gets us by, but also very much loses us games, but hitting is still very much in it. So I think that's a good sign or a good something to look at. So, because like you said, when you're not having the season that everyone expects, if you're not having the dominant season that you did like last year, this year is looked at as a disappointment. But we've had something similar in the very recent past. So it's not like this is completely out of the ordinary. It's just something that's happening, and we know that the outcome can be fine.
And one thing you and I have talked about a bunch, and I believe Sydney mentioned this as well, this team is talented. Like, you know the people are talented. Like, Ashton comes in as a highly recruited player. Like, is she going to walk in day one and be dominant? No. We've seen that, obviously. But, you know, as she gets more experience, gets more comfortable at this level, you know eventually there's that gear. Does it come in a sophomore season? Does it come later in conference play? Is it, I mean, it could click in the postseason, who knows? But you know, sitting 18th currently, right, in this poll, or 21st, depending on which one you look at, to host a regional, you just need to be top 16.
Right.
You're not that far off. And like we talked about, the schedule being not the hardest. You don't have Duke still sitting there. You don't have any of these crazy opponents coming up. It's really Florida is the one ranked one I can see kind of ahead of you. You have a chance to just stack wins that'll just kind of help just kind of float you up as other teams lose. Sure. Are you, as a fan, wanting to see them be more competitive and in these tougher games? Sure. I wish they played more to have more measuring sticks. But at this point, just win games and keep moving up and finding out who you are. Softball is still an easy game to lose one here and there. So just keep building on what you're doing. I can hear people screaming, and which is funny because this is a Zoom screen with the two of us, but you said this offense is elite. And I know you see the same comment that I see every time that they play a good team. The offense is only elite against bad teams. So I present to you, is the offense only elite against bad teams? Because they were thoroughly dominated against by Alabama and Texas. What say you?
I mean, it's easy to think that way because, like, obviously at Pitt, you know, home runs were literally flying left and right. And, you know, comments were made just like across the board of like, well, Pitt has a small field. Like, are these really home runs anywhere else? And I sit there and think, does it matter if it's a home run in Pitt versus if it's a home run at Texas or at Florida? No, because we're playing Pitt. Like, it doesn't matter. We're doing what we need to do in the moment to win the game. Or make us get there to help win the game or whatever. So, I mean, is the offense only elite with bad teams? Of course they are, but like, they can still, I think they can still do what they need to do, you know, against an Alabama or a Duke. I mean, the Texas series or the Texas game, like, getting shut out 10 to nothing is like embarrassing. That's like just the truth. And obviously the bats didn't do anything, but it's also like you have to think about the week that just happened, like a gruesome Duke series, an Alabama game that was tough, and of course they just have to sit there and focus on Texas, but I don't know. It can be a little bit circumstantial about what you just went through and then how, okay, now this is the last game before we go to Pitt and it's huge and like there's all this outside pressure, but I mean, I think we still I had a optimistic view of going into Texas and Alabama, and of course Duke, but I don't think the offense keeps us really out of any games.
Is there anything, I guess, in that, like I said, I can, I'm not even sure it's my opinion, because you can look back at Clearwater, and Clearwater being Clearwater, everyone scored runs, but you scored 10 apiece in both losses against, you know, Georgia, who's, I think, number three, like I just said, and another, you know, good opponent there in UCLA. It's not like they no show, but like, that's the point of really good teams, right? You're playing a really good team because they're a really good team, and they stop you because they're a really good team. So to your point, like, yes, do you score more when you play in a small ballpark? Like, yeah, because it's a small ballpark, but it's the same team we're playing against is playing in a small ballpark. This is,
Exactly.
do we score less because we're playing a good team? Yes, it's because they're a really good team. They don't make the ground ball, the hard hit ground ball between the second baseman and the first baseman ends up in a diving play that gets rolled over and flipped to first, and it just goes in the scorebook as a 4-3. But it's a really well hit ball that against 90% of teams gets through, but against Texas doesn't. You know, and obviously Texas being 10-0, it's not like that was the difference maker, but those things add up against good teams.
Yeah, and like if you look at the NCAA stats, like online, we're in the top 10 in scoring and on base percentage. So we're doing.
Other teams also play bad teams.
Yeah, and we're doing what needs to be done. And we're in the top 10 after 30-ish games, and the front half was extremely loaded. Like we weren't playing those soft teams in the beginning of the season, where we were playing hard teams, and this is the result that we're getting is the top 10, you know, on base percentage and scoring statistics against other really good teams like Oklahoma, Texas, and Florida. So, I mean, that's literally just math there. Like the numbers are showing that the offense is fine. Like it's not these bad teams that we're doing this against.
Yeah, and I think this is a all-time dumb sports argument thing to even bring up. So I hate that I'm doing it. But like there is something to like your due. Like I'd almost rather you lose 10-0 than like 10-4. I mean, not really, but you know what I mean? Like there's something to like the okay, you got 10-0'd, but like do you think you'll get 10-0'd the next time if you play them again? Like
yeah,
I think
exactly.
there's more to it. Every time you see them, the better it is, the chance you get the chance to be better. Sure, you don't want it to go that way. And I can hear somebody like, of course, I mean, duh, idiot. But like, you know, you don't. It's very easy to be like, God, that sucked. They suck, when it's not actually true. They don't suck. The lineup is super deep. I'm looking at it right now. They're great. Like the numbers are great. Sure, in the great games, they didn't come through. But I mean, you can go to Stanford, team that no one seems to score on. You had four. Was that elite? No. But you didn't need 15 in that game. You needed one. You got four. You know, you found a way to find the numbers. And we talked about it a few times before in the UCLA game. You were one swing away from there being right in it and winning that game. You know, it's not like you need to always put up 15. Sure, there's games where you're not going to win with zero. But if you go to the Duke games, you had five, you had four in the losses. And if your pitching gives you three, then you're there. And maybe you're in each of them, you're a swing away from finding the seven, finding the eight. And if you get hot at the right time, good luck.
And this is like, I agree with everything you said. And I assume that we'll like see Duke again, you know, probably in the ACC tournament. And if we do, like, I'm excited for that game because A, it's only one game that you have to play Duke and beat them. And you've seen them three other times. And one time you beat them and the other two, like, it was pretty competitive. So you know how you can play against Duke. The team knows like what they need to do for only one game to beat Duke. And it's not like we've never played Duke before this year. Like everyone on Duke has been the same practically, feels like, for the last 7 years. Like we know what we're getting out of this team. So yeah, I mean, I'm not, a potential Duke matchup, I'm not worried about.
When you look at where this team is at now and where they have, I guess, succeeded, right? Where they've kind of figured things out, where do you point? I guess, where do you look? Because, you know, there's a handful of people you could probably point to. Obviously, the Duke series, nobody was probably bigger in getting you a win there than McKenna Reed. Issa Torres continues. I mean, share the meme. If anybody's got me, I know Issa Torres does. Like, I mean, who do you look at and say, like, this is the part where it's, you can see things starting to come along?
Yeah, I think obviously Issa and McKenna has been great. Like at the beginning of the season, we had kind of our struggles with McKenna and just how she was performing, but she's proven otherwise since then. And I think, you know, Issa Torres, like we've said 1,000 times, like the last 2 weekends, she's been absolutely dominant, but against, you know, the bottom teams. But I mean, we need her to be that way all the time. And if she can go from one weekend to the next and still do that, you know, that only shows great things, right? Because I think just also this freshman class in general is really rounding out to like have an outstanding next 4 years. Like, we obviously know the Beechams and the Issa Torreses, but like Kennedy Harp, you know, has made herself into the starting lineup this last weekend because of what she's been able to do. Like, not only her defense, but her bat as well. I mean, that she's replacing Janai. I don't know if Janai is out because Kennedy is better or if there's something going on with her. I don't know. But either way, like, Kennedy Harp is doing what she needs to do and she's excelling at it. And then and Ashton, you know, felt like she was maybe a little bit rocky the last few weeks or start of conference or whatever. And she's since kind of grown into her own a little bit more. She's gotten more experience. She's gotten more starts and she's gone longer in those starts. So I think just the freshmen understanding their roles on the team and capitalizing on them outside of the Issas and Gisonis is helping us move forward.
Yeah, I mean, talking specifically, I guess, to go to Ashton, you mentioned the struggles early in the conference play. The Duke series, she had two outings, four innings, four earned, three and a third innings, four earned. I guess actually three earned in this one, but it's four runs allowed. You know, but she came back against Texas and gave you three shutout innings. You know, she was the only pitcher who really had success that game. You know, and she four innings against Pitt. She gave you three against NC State. The next one gave up four earned there. But the next day, or 2 days later, five innings, one run. I mean, you're seeing where there's growth, and they are relying on young players. And I understand where you could come from saying, like, well, young players are have this great pedigree or they're highly recruited and I want to see more from them. But with young players comes the lack of experience to do it day in and day out, the durability to know the grind of the schedule, where there's going to be days where you're just not going to have it. And knowing how to fight through it is something that obviously, you know, a pitcher like Kat brought to you last year when she didn't have it, being able to fight through it. And I think you're watching Ashton kind of start to learn that. And to an extent, McKenna. I mean, you know, obviously McKenna played a huge role last year as that kind of shutdown closer type, but you're asking her to do something a lot different this year. She's going multiple innings and she's doing it more often. Is she allowing more runs? Duh, she's pitching more. You know, I mean, it's hard to maintain that like one inning dominance when you be like, okay, now I need you to give me four. But you're still seeing the growth. I mean, earlier in the year, she, you know, against Texas, she's allowing six, and then other games it's three, it's five, and there's walks piling up. There's still, you know, a couple games here with some more walks, but you're seeing them start to slow down and her start to get more of the strikeouts. You just hope that that type of growth continues. I think ideally you'd like her to kind of still find that one inning role to be dominant for you. But if you need her to go more, she's got it in there. And I think that's where the growth is coming in with this team, where it's like, okay, if this part of the season doesn't have to be that stressful, then great. Then let everyone kind of learn and find themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. And this last weekend, you know, we saw the same three pitchers. We saw Ashton, Mimi for a little bit, and McKenna. We never saw Allison Royalty once, which who knows what that status is, but you can also look at it like these three pitchers were forced almost to figure it out and stay longer and do better for a longer period of time because you don't, for whatever reason, you don't have Allison Royalty coming into the game and you don't have her as an option. So, you know, these last two weekends, this last weekend especially, were big growth moments for those three pitchers.
And look, I mean, we don't know, but you'd have to assume something. Allison has got something going on if she's not out there, being the veteran of the staff, being someone who's pitched well when they've used her, obviously. You'd assume there's something there. Don't know. Don't want to ask me. I don't have the answer. But she not being there, like you said, it gives that experience and opens the door, and it being against a Pitt and an NC State, then great. Then, you know, it's her. Whatever the unavailability is for, if they choose not to use her, then okay, that's probably on the table too, because coach is smarter at this than I am. But you're seeing more of the younger players who are succeeding, and this is the time to let them succeed in it. You know, yeah, this is the time to let them. If you can look at Pitt and go, you know what, we don't need you this weekend, take a deep breath, it's fine, we can hand the ball off, then great. Then fine, if you feel comfortable doing that. When you mentioned the lineup, You mentioned Kennedy Harp. Excelled the last couple of weekends. It goes to the depth of this, right? The length that this group can go. They've been dealing with injury here or there. Defensive struggles has come up a bunch in comments and in arguments around the team. How do you feel like they are? Do you think they're settling into a lineup? Do you feel like they are still kind of tinkering? Do you think they want to tinker with it still? How do you feel that's kind of shaking out?
I honestly think it's a mix of both because on one hand, we're seeing like Janai taken out of the lineup for whatever reason and Kennedy Harp going in. And then we're also seeing Hallie Wakehaser being taken out of the lineup, which I assume is just because she hasn't been doing that great on either side of the ball. And Kaylee Harding is in right field. And I think that's absolutely where she needs to be. And I think Kocha is willing to stick with that. And on the other hand, like, I don't know. I think the Janai Kennedy Harp situation can be like a little more flexible, and like depending on if one is doing bad or one is doing good, like she'll swap those two. But I don't know, this is just my thinking.
Watching from afar.
Yeah,
literally from afar, state of Washington.
But I think kind of the only thing that's like, I think we're just gonna have to suffer I hate saying suffer, but like we have to come to terms with the fact that Amaya Ross is going to be at first base for the rest of the season. Like, yes, a lot of errors that occur on the team are credited to her because of how she plays first base. But I think that's just something we have to take with stride, because at this point, you know, Kaylee was DPing for a while, but I don't think that's an option now. So I think she's going to stay in right field. And obviously you have to have Amaya in the lineup. Like, yes, Angeli Bueno is probably a better first baseman because that's like her natural position, but you know, she's not getting enough time to see what her bat is like to like really take over for Amaya. Like,
well,
you know,
Amaya leads the team in OPS. It's really hard to take that bat out of the lineup when leading on base and slugger. It's tough to deal with that.
Yeah, and plus like there's just the whole aspect of like sometimes Ashton hits for herself in the lineup kind of thing, like being able to use her in that way. And honestly, at that point, when you start talking about pitchers hitting for themselves, like my mind goes crazy because I don't really understand it. But I mean, I think there's just a lot more nuance than people realize, or like even I can understand, to where what needs to happen on the team for the lineup to be great in the field and at the plate.
Well, and I think a couple of things you're talking about managing, you know, like we talked about the depth of this group and players finding their roles and, you know, is it going to be Amaya at first? Is it going to be this one? Are we going to move people around? Who goes to right? You know, are you struggling? Should we move you around? Should we keep giving you the chances? How do we do that? It's a very delicate balance, you know, and I know in sports, there's always a tendency to look at these people as numbers, jerseys, stats, and all those sorts of things. But keep in mind for the listeners and everyone at home and you care and everyone cares, they're still 18 to probably 24 years old. I don't know, the COVID year kind of makes everyone's age seem kind of weird in college, but you know, these are young people with a lot going on, classes and college and everything that goes with it. And it's not just like, oh, they're young people, they make mistakes. Like, it's for Kocha and the staff, managing the personalities, managing the interpersonal relationships and who's taking what role. And well, you know, this person's got a great bat and maybe the glove's not there, or the glove's here, but the bat's not there. And you've got the speed, but you've got the power. How do I mash it all together? You know, sometimes it's just playing the personalities and it's making them not just fit each other, but fit the team and go for your goals. You know, how do you kind of navigate it? And it may be certain games you just say, you know what, I know I'm gonna have to eat this one, but if I make this swap, it's going to be a locker room catastrophe to some extent. And not saying that exists on this team, but just in the navigating a college locker room, it's not easy. And when you've got so many talented people that you're having to make tough decisions, you've kind of got to be careful how you do it.
Yeah, and that's just like the Florida State aspect of it all, right? Like, we're sitting here saying you can or cannot make lineup changes for X, Y, and Z reason for us. But then you coach is sitting there also worrying about, like, how does our team stack up against a left-handed pitcher? You know, like,
yeah.
There's the other team to worry about too in terms of our lineup. So at the end of the day, I think it's all very nuanced, but I think I honestly like the team that we have right now and the lineup that we have right now is what we will have moving forward, I believe, minus like the exception of like Janai and Kennedy. But to answer your question, long-winded.
No, but I think we got a long way there, and yeah, I know the word you used there that you didn't want to use was suffer, but I think more of the suffering is having to deal with the comment section of every game thread being like, ah, oh, God. And it's like, yeah, just let her live, okay? She's also going to turn around and hit a 3-run homer in the next half innings, and just take a deep
Yes.
breath. It happens. It's okay. She'll give it back. That's the balancing act that coach is playing. It's okay. That's what comes with the reps. It's not exactly a natural position. We'll figure it out. Like if that's the best decision they've got, you'll figure it out. You know, it's part of it. I normally go here to looking ahead at the schedule. I feel like we've talked about it quite a bit. But if you got something, I won't tell you no. McNeese is the next two games in Tallahassee. You go to Louisville, and then you got Notre Dame the following weekend. That's probably the furthest we'll go out from doing this podcast. And then God knows what happens with this baby that could take me out of the mix. But where do you kind of see those next 2 weeks? Is there anything that stands out to you?
Yeah, I think McNeese, obviously the next game is just really exciting because Issa gets to play against her sister because her sister's on that team. So that's just exciting in general. I think McNeese is a good team. Like, you know, last year they went up to Washington and literally the only thing that was so far out of the mind of everyone of happening happened at Washington. But McNeese was an inning away from going to a super regional last year. So they're a good team.
A lot of runs gave them a cushion to get there.
Yeah. And like, McNeese is historically like a good team, historically like an NCAA team. So they're probably one of the better teams in their conference. So I'm excited for that. And then Louisville and Notre Dame, you know, they're not bad teams. I think they're decent. They could very well take a game from us if we're not careful, or they could very well win the series if we're not careful type of teams. But they're obviously not the Dukes of the world, or the Clemsons, but I still think Louisville and Notre Dame are good tests before the kind of the schedule really falls off. But yeah, I'm excited, especially just because Louisville's at Louisville. It's always a lot harder for you to go play a team at their place because that's where they're comfortable. But I'm excited for Louisville.
I think this is another great chance for them to once again take a team that is fine, good, solid softball teams, and compete. Just go compete. And I think the more comfortable they get with playing the team in front of them, going out and doing what each individual person does, the better they're going to be. And if they can settle into like, we just play softball instead of like, I'm the ace now, or I need to give three innings here. It's just like, I need you to just get this out. I need you to just field this ball and get it to first. I just need you to move the runner. I just need you to steal second. Whatever their roles are, as they find that out, the better. And I think this is another two-set weekend. You go 5-1, 6-0, 4-2 win both weekends, 2-3 both weekends. Great. And, you know, and just keep stacking series wins and see how you shake out. I mean, you'd love to end up in that 2-3 spot probably in the conference play where you can save yourself a Duke matchup as a championship game as opposed to being earlier in the tournament. And just, like I said, stack wins and kind of set yourself up to be right around that 16, 15, 14 range come tournament selection time and get yourself a regional site and see what happens. You know, I think it's a great time for that.
Yeah, and just kind of looking over overall statistics for teams across the country, like Louisville is averaging 5 runs a game. So they're right up there with us. You know, they very well could have a great day and us have an off day and that be the difference maker. So, I mean, Louisville is going to be a really great test, I think. I kind of judge a team based on if they're on the first page of the stats when I go look on the NCAA website, but I mean, they're not. Louisville is not. But they're at the top of the second page.
So almost. Maybe if they update tomorrow or something, they'll make the jump. We promised it at the beginning. And I don't want to leave it out. So let's talk about your haul. You got some stuff from last year's OKC. You have like five things?
Well, my
I'd like
dad
to.
got, so my dad got a lot. My dad is the one who went and like got all these items, but I would, he kept some stuff, and then he gave some stuff to me. So
Can we do like a top three for you? Could I do 3, 2, 1 as your favorite things? Okay, number three.
Number three, probably.
Again, first pitch banquet. It's like a or first pitch day, first pitch fest, first pitch fest, whatever it is. The gear, the cool stuff, the preseason. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for supporting the team. Number three favorite thing that you ended up with in your possession from that day is.
Probably a signed softball from the team last year.
Okay, all right.
I got three softballs, but that one is number three.
That one is number three. Okay, that's cool.
And then number
Is it
two,
just a softball or is it game use? It's just a softball.
I'll get there. I'll get there, Brian.
Okay, so, but that softball in particular is just a softball.
Yeah, it has like, I think it has like Women's College World Series on or something. I don't know. But then
Okay,
everyone,
cool. All right,
but
number two.
is, I don't even know how to describe this because I feel like it's so random, but you know those big stand-up flags that are at like events that say like welcome or whatever? And
Yeah,
I could honestly go get it if you don't
no,
want
well, no one else will see it. I'll see it, but we're talking about like the thing that's maybe like, I don't know, 8 to 10 feet tall, straight up, and it's kind of got like the curve.
Yes,
Okay,
exactly.
yes, all right, I got you.
I have one of those now from the Women's College World Series, and it like literally says welcome and then like Women's College World Series logos on it. And I just thought that was so random. And I don't know what to do with it, to be quite honest, but I will find something to do with
You
it.
put it second on your list because of how random it is?
Yeah, and I just think it's fun. Like,
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
and plus
No,
it's from the Women's College World Series. We love that.
we go through my boxes of stuff from covering games and things like that, and it's always like, do you need the Wi-Fi from the Final Four? And I'm like, well, I mean, I was there, right? And she's like, but do you need the
Yeah.
Wi-Fi password? I'm like, I don't probably know, but it says Final Four on it, so
Exactly.
yeah.
The first time I ever covered a game for Tomahawk Nation in Doak, I kept my little seat assignment thing that literally has the Wi-Fi on it and everything. So
Oh, absolutely.
I
Yeah.
don't know, but
I'm the same way. I'm like take pictures on the field after the game and all those sorts of things for sure. Number one is
an actual game used softball from last year's Women's College World Series.
do you know what game? Like which pitch? Do you know any of that stuff? No, just it was at
No.
some point.
It's dirty, so
Okay. All right. So
it
somebody
has to
flipped it in
be.
and said, I don't want this anymore.
Yeah, I don't know anything of, I don't know anything about its history, but
Well, maybe what we can do is we can watch all the games from last year's Women's College World Series and see which one looks the most like it.
if you would be able to determine that.
I don't know. I feel like we could. Let's just try. We'll watch, what
Yeah,
is
all
it,
right.
like
Let's go
17
watch.
games? We'll just give it a try.
Yeah, and at, like, probably 700 foul balls, excluding the ones that are given to the parents for the home runs.
Yeah, take those out. We know it's not one of those.
Exactly.
Well, what we can do is, if anyone out there is really interested, Gwen's going to tweet out a picture of the ball, and then you will track down where the scuff from the ball came from. Find the type of bat that may have left the mark on the ball. What type of dirt? Was it first base dirt? Was it left field dirt? Where did the dirt come from? And then hopefully you can give Gwen the ancestry.com of what happened to her softball. That's what I'm looking for there.
Exactly, like those dollar bills that have like
Yes. A
the
little stamp, like, where did you come from? And it's like, well, I use this to buy Dippin' Dots at a minor league baseball game.
Yeah, exactly.
Man,
But
those are
I mean,
so
my
fun.
dad got some other cool stuff that he just kept for himself, so good haul, I would say.
Anything you needed to share? Do you have a top one of that group?
Well, one of them is not a physical item. But he bid on dinner with the coaching staff at Coach's house and won.
Okay.
So I know he has not done it yet at the time of this recording. I want to say maybe it's the weekend of the Notre Dame series.
All right, great. Then you
I'm
can come
not
on the
sure.
pod
I would
afterwards.
have to
We'll just
double check
prod him
with
for
him.
information.
But I think it's like him and three guests he gets to bring or something like that. I don't know. I think he went in on it with some people, so he has friends that he'll go with, but that's exciting.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a cool one. I was gonna ask if you were gonna fly in, but if he's got friends already, you're at the kids' table stuck by yourself in Washington, huh?
Yeah, but I'll be at the Boston College series for anyone curious.
If anyone's in Boston wanting to go say hi to Gwen, check in the comments, drop it on there. I know we got some of you who live up there that do the my college football picks article every football season. So if you listen to this and have made it this far in, or you know someone who does, let them know. Come hang out with Gwen. Come hang out with the show. Not me, but you can hang out with Gwen. Odds are I'll be eyeballs deep in baby crying and baby screaming and no sleep and anything else that comes with it. I'll save you the graphic details of. No, that's yeah. That should be the yeah. I should have a baby by then. If not, I'll be the Monday after. But so I guess on that, the programming note here is obviously no baby yet. My wife is due on the 16th. Gwen and I have talked about it before, and we don't know what that's going to look like. The goal is to keep this going, I'm sure, because Gwen is West Coast. I can find one night where I'm awake very late to do the show again. I don't know what information I'll bring you because God knows I may not have a chance to watch as much as I do but normally, but I'll try. But we'll get you something sometime, probably around then, either right before his actual due date if he doesn't come in time, or sometime in the weeks after, once we get him home and somewhat settled. So I guess be on the lookout for the next pod. It's always kind of who knows anyway, but always a pleasure, Gwen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us. This is a wrap.